Episode 388, October 22nd, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Yo, welcome to the Rob and Joe Show. Joseph, good evening to you. You're drinking water out of a coffee mug.
Yeah, we're running low on cups. So, real quick, we have a lot of Halloween murder mysteries coming up, and we wanted Jeremy Woodworth to play his creepy clown at the Halloween show at the DC Improv. So,
yeah, that would be a good, huge get.
So I sent him a text, said, hey, could you do it? He said, this weekend? Of course, I clearly said Halloween. It's not this weekend. But I said, any interest in being Pogo for Halloween at the DC Improv? He goes, this weekend, got to be in New Jersey for Chiller. Okay. Now, I'm not kidding, all right? These are the celebrities. May I give them to you?
Yeah.
You let me know when you've heard of one, okay?
I love this.
All right. Rick Frayn.
Nope.
Marcus Boas. Boas?
No
Boas?
No clue.
Ed Repka?
Nope.
Dustin Warburton.
Dustin Hoffman?
No, just no. So you'll know where he's from. Spiders 3D, Macho Dad, Strange Things.
Oh, the Macho Dad.
Hey, Strange Things.
Not Stranger Things.
My Brother Eats Spiders.
Not the Macho Man.
How to Scare a Monster, A World Without Color, and Babies. I can't read this last one. Okay.
It's a lot of credits they're giving.
Linda Tauby, T-O-U-B-Y, Tooby.
I think Jeremy's too big for this chiller fest.
Hold on. Mario A.C. De La Casa. Okay.
Mario Lopez.
Now, from The Killer Clown Meets the Candyman, I kid you not, one of the celebrities, Jeremy Woodworth. I kid you not. Here's what it says.
Is he more famous than Eric, his brother?
Well, I hear what you're saying, meaning in that world, everybody knows who he is, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know his world. You know what I mean? Jeremy's got to be more famous. Jeremy's been on 98 Rock. Eric. Yeah, Eric's been overseas. Eric's got to be more famous than Jeremy.
I think Jeremy's more famous.
Eric was recognized at Disney World.
Can I keep going?
True.
Because there is eventually somebody you're going to know of.
All right.
Okay, the director, by the way, of The Killer Clown Meets the Candyman is not Peter Jackson. It's J-A-C-E-O-N-E. Jace One?
Peter Jackson. Jake's One?
Yeah. Edward X. Young, John Link, and of course, Jeremy Woodworth.
I think Jeremy's more famous than you or I, Joe. He might be the most famous person we know.
Let me keep going. The Misfits of Magic, Halloween Spooktacular, which is Count Carlistro, James Chowles, Big Al Thompson. I'm getting to somebody that you've heard of.
Are you sure?
Familiar? Yep. Robbie's definitely going to know one. Well, here's Ron Dante, who's a vocalist from the Archies. I believe he sang Sugar Sugar. Mm. But here are two people you've heard of. One is Constantine Margolis. How do you pronounce his last name? Marolis.
I don't know who that is. That American Idol?
Yes,
singer?
That's okay. Correct.
Yes.
Marolis. Marolis, that's it. Sorry. Constantine Marolis. And Robbie, do you know who this is? Martha Davis.
Yeah. How do I know that name?
Well, you like two songs that she sings. I'm surprised they aren't on all of our murder mystery soundtracks. But she sang Only the Lonely and Suddenly Last Summer. That's right, Martha Davis, lead singer of The Motels.
I don't understand this mashup of celebrities. I thought this is a horror theme, and yet you have some singers in there that I don't know their ties to Chiller Fest.
I think it's just like, let's get anybody that has any level of fame. Like, you and I could clearly be on this poster.
Well, let's try. So, can he do Halloween night? That's the back to the original. Did we ever figure that out? Are we still?
No, that he didn't answer. She sure as hell screen capped this poster for me. By the way, the last poster there were people way more famous than this. Ed Begley Jr. was on there.
I've had people go to the one in Baltimore and bring me like autographs of like famous wrestlers, like Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
That's who Robbie and I met when we did the horror find, I believe it was called. Rowdy Roddy Piper was there. You know who else was there? Eric and Jeremy will think this is crazy that I don't know their name, but whoever played Pinhead from Hellraiser was there.
Speaking of that, let me ask you something, Joe.
Speaking of Pinhead?
Speaking of doing that horror fest, have you and Katie ever been to Kim's Crypt?
You know, it's funny. We just went to another haunted house this past weekend. We love going to haunted houses.
By the way, can I say something? Like, Tawanda's asked me, like, are we going this year? And apparently you guys are just going constantly, and we've yet to be invited. I thought we had a good time last year. Well, I guess we didn't.
So it's funny you say that, because guess who went?
Dave Wilkerson.
Me, Katie, and Dave. That's it, because you were out of town. We called Eric to see if him and his, I can't say his wife's name for some reason. It's an obscure first name. Not obscure, but I mean a very common first name. Still not allowed to say it.
It's Erica.
And of course, you were out of town. So, yes, well, believe me, we could have used you. I felt bad. Dave was just there.
Used me. Well, yeah. Did you go into some trouble?
No, but it was just, actually, listen to this. So, this is horrible. We went to Field of Screams and Olney, which is really cool.
Uh-huh.
However, there's one, it's a trail where you walk through the woods and you go down a slide. So it started raining.
Oh.
And we didn't think. We went down the slide. Just our asses were soaking
and
wet.
It was cold, probably.
We had to just leave. We didn't get to stay. We still have three more attractions. We still have our thing. So the answer to your question is yes. Whenever you're ready, let's go and finish up what we started.
All right. What's this Kim's Crypt thing?
So there's they're a sponsor of 98 Rocks, but she was at the horror find when we went there. She was there, like, as a celebrity. And so we talked to her, and I remember she was like, all right, kids, no drugs and alcohol. Like, that was her big thing.
Okay.
Like, she was going to keep kids off of drugs and alcohol. Well, I was going to try heroin until Kim from Kim's Crypt told me not to.
I got to do something that I've never done before in my life this past weekend, Joe. I got to party on a tour bus.
And I doubt I ever did that.
So
who's tour bus? A big celebrity?
Well,
bigger than anybody at Chiller Fest?
Yes, he's a big celebrity in the comedy world. I would say I think he's on the short list of the greatest comedians of all time. But he doesn't have any real national, he doesn't have any breakout sitcom kind of fame.
Okay.
Brian Regan.
Oh, hell yeah. No, he's super famous.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was doing I was in Albany, the Funny Bone, and he was doing a theater in town, the Palace. He's on this theater tour. And feature from Friday night was going to be hanging out with him on Saturday. And then his opener is a guy that I met up in Albany in Syracuse just doing Funny Bones.
What's his opener's name? The same guy he's always had who does the...
It's pretty new. Steve Rogers.
Okay.
It's a new guy.
I saw his brother open up for him at the DC Improv.
Nice. Dennis Regan. And so, first of all, I guess it's Friday night I was headlining, right? And the feature is this butch lesbian named Dre.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny. The MC, when he first, you know, came out and spoke to the show, he mentioned who was on the show, and he referred to her as them. Okay, is that mistaken? And then when he brings her up, he said them again. And I'm like, does she have a fucking puppet I don't know about?
Tell me how that's used in a sentence.
All right, we've got Dre here. Get up for them.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay?
Right.
So I'm like, does he not know what that word means? I'm like, does she have a puppet or some sort of act that... And then I was like, is this a gender situation?
Sounds like it is, right?
Well, that's it was. But she starts saying, look, I'm a lesbian, I'm a woman, but then she went into it later. But she's really funny, and I kept like feeling like I want to compliment you, but I don't know how to say it. So
did she want to be referred to as them, or is this something, some PC?
I think he must have found out.
Sorry, not PC, a woke MC.
I don't know. I mean, I referred to her as she, and she didn't give a shit. She was super easy to get along with, very funny. It was always, but anyway, she was going to be, she said, Brian wants to hang out. He likes to hang out with comedians, and we're thinking about coming by Saturday night. And I said, well, that would be awesome. So they came by during the middle of the late show. They showed up. And, you know, this is what I, you know, when you meet somebody, you have an idea what they might be like and what you're hoping they're like. And he was exactly what he was, what I wanted him to be.
Yeah, he was just awesome.
We're just riffing off things. Like, it's just random, silly. So he goes, I don't know how he came up. He's like, you know what? I think if you're a band, you don't have a lot of big hits. I think it's okay to play your big hit twice. I think you could open with it. And I think you can do it at the end. I don't think people would mind.
No, people, it's not that people wouldn't mind. They would prefer that.
Yes.
They don't want to hear anything else.
Right.
You think Dexy's Midnight Runners comes out, they want to hear their old hits, their new, they only have one hit. Anything they play, they're not going to want to hear.
Right. So we had like a 5-minute conversation about this. They were like, all right, what about 3 times? We're like, no, that's weird. But 4 times is hilarious.
Did you say, what if they didn't play it at all?
We talked about that. We said, what if they just played it how many times in a row could you get away with before it became? I mean, we had a whole, everything you want to riff with a comic. And this, but this is legendary. This is Brian Regan.
That sounds like something you would make up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, I talk about that because I saw Sean Colvin, who sang Sonny Came Home, yes. And I saw she didn't play. She didn't sing it. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
So we, then we all went to Dave and Buster's, which is right there at the mall. Brian, he's buying shots for everybody. He has a tour bus. That's where he literally tours now with a tour bus. So I'm sure he's killing it. So then we went in the tour bus. It was super nice. Keckner, everybody, it's about 12 of us. It was up till like 4 a.m. and then he had to leave to the next gig in Burlington, Vermont.
You know how much I worship Brian Regan, right, Rob?
Well, you would have had a great time because he was everything you want him to be.
In my opinion, he's got the funniest Comedians in Cars episode. And also, you know, Joe and I saw him open up for Jerry
right.
in Atlanta.
1991 at the Fabulous Fox in Atlanta. It says Brian Regan's net worth is $10 million. Now,
seems low.
Does seem low.
The Mega Millions is $1.6 billion.
I know. I'm in on it with Tim.
Here's my question.
Former show announcer Tim Moran.
If you win, mm-hmm. are we still doing the podcast?
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, I mean, my day job's it's screwed. They'll never see me again. But
The podcast will be a lot better if I get to quit.
What? You're quitting?
No, I say the podcast will be a lot better if I quit my day job.
Oh, well, I see what you're saying. Gotcha.
Yeah, we would fire Robbie, give him a nice severance pack.
Yeah, he'd get a golden parachute. We get better. Hey, we get a real studio. We wouldn't have to sit in this studio. We would. It's funny. The studio, which is awesome, we're now complaining about because our $1.6 billion studio that we've made up in our mind is going to be...
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be like WKRP.
How much more would we spend on our murder mystery production value? Will we have more costumes, more set pieces?
No, somehow that would make it worse.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I wouldn't do much different.
We'd probably just buy more advertising or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See if we could raise the price, buy more advertising. Yeah. We might step up our game a little bit, but I would also, the big thing is I'd pay somebody to do everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's be the big thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, former show announcer Tim, who you're now feuding with, says that if he wins, he's going to hire you to be his gardener.
Not, I won't accept the job.
How much would you accept it for? To just do manual chores for Tim Moran.
No, I'm
your
not
dignity.
Doing it.
Okay, there's a number. $10 million?
I'll do it for $10 million.
Okay. $200,000 for just one for one summer of work?
No, I'm not doing it for $200,000.
$9 million?
No, I'm not. Yeah, $9 million. Like I said, if you're talking 7 figures, but I'm telling you, I'm not doing it for $300,000.
Okay.
The number,
so you do it for $1 million.
The number is right around $400,500 to be his gardener.
Well, you might lose, but you'd get in an argument and you'd storm off. I don't think you'd last. Because he would be needling you the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I might not be able to do it.
He would be a dick about it.
Yeah.
God, I want... Now I really want to win the lottery. Just because of that.
That reminds me of that Seinfeld episode about the person being somebody's butler that he kept.
That was the
about.
Premise of George. Their first episode or the right. pilot when they made a pilot on the show.
Yeah. So yes. So the show is yes. is Kim Rand becomes a billionaire and he pays Joe $1 million to be his gardener.
Scott Bergson said in chat that he'd be a $50 a month Patreon if he, he won the.
Thanks, Scott.
I appreciate it, Scott.
Also, real quick from Chillerfest, we said the name Ron Dante. Jim Amato let us know that he produced for Barry Manilow. So oh,
that's a much nice. Bigger achievement.
That's how you'll see it. Other than better than being the singer of the number one hit Sugar Sugar, producing yes. for Barry Manilow.
That's pretty strong. Yeah. Another Seinfeld tie, and he just reminded me. You remember the episode where he Jerry, the pilot, comes to his show?
Yes.
And he's so I'm this is in Albany, and there's a guy in the front row. He was not front dead center, but one over to the left, my left, take four top. And he is not looking at the stage or me. He's staring like straight ahead to like to the other people that are watching the show.
Right.
He won't ever look at me. And he just has this look on his face. He looks like a serial killer.
Is
he never
it's,
breaks.
It's rage or it's blank.
It's just like if
sinister is
I'm saying if you're a woman and you just, you know, you just saw him somewhere, you'd be afraid.
Right.
Or if they just played any scary music and you saw that guy, you think, well, he's this right. guy is a serial killer. And at one point, I just commented. I was like, dude, what are you looking at? Like, I'm right here. Like, you oh, see God. That. And then he yelled something awkwardly, and I realized I don't want to go down this road. But it was in my head because I kept looking over, no breaking his face at all. Just and then it was in my head, and then I was thinking of that Seinfeld thing, and I kept looking at that fucking guy.
Well, I told you that the Leatherberries did that, and the guy was blind.
This guy wasn't blind.
No. Well, no. You got to be careful with stuff like that.
Yeah. Well,
I told you, actually, you were there when I was. I went into the crowd, and I said, oh, what happened to your husband? And he goes, oh, I'm a widow.
Well, speaking of that, this is a nice segue into my story of the. This is the most terrified I've ever been on stage in my life about something that I said. So Tuesday night, I do the DC Improv. That's a benefit for mental health. They have a website. I didn't do any research to learn the backstory.
Why would you?
Why would I, right? Nor did any other comics, by the way. And I saw, though, that Lewis Black had tweeted about this show. And I was like, oh, okay. How is he involved? So before the show, Allison, the manager, comes over to her. She goes, yeah, I just want to give you a backstory. This is about this guy, his wife, a disgruntled employee, came into their home and murdered her.
What?
This is like 4 years ago, like in D.C. or Bethesda or something. And the guy had, you know, some mental health issues, and that's how this came about. And this guy is friends with Lewis Black. And then the daughter comes over and the son, they're telling us the backstory. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Allison. Because I literally have a joke. Half of marriages end in divorce. The other half, some of those end in murder.
Yeah.
Then I have a joke about the ID channel. And then I promote the murder mystery. So I'm like, okay, let's just cut any of that shit out. Now, I go on stage, and I start talking to this couple, and the woman's like, no, this is my dad. I'm like, okay. And then I start about drinking, and they're like, yeah, we drink all the time. I goes, you guys just sit around drinking? What do you talk about, mom?
Oh,
and
God.
Then I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is that? Because I didn't know. Is that the daughter? Because it's a woman, a daughter and father. There's nobody else there. And then I go, oops, and I move on. And nobody acted weird, so I thought maybe they're covering for me to not act weird, or maybe it's not. Now, I figured out that it wasn't them.
Oh, my God.
But for about 5-10 seconds, I was like, what have I stopped. Fucking done?
Did it affect your set?
It did, but the next joke got a laugh. So, and then something else happened. Before the show, let a couple people give some speeches and talk about the charity and whatnot, and they gave a guy an award. He created this app. It's called 18% because 18% of people have some sort of mental health issue. And when he went on stage, he gave a little speech. He thanked his partner. So I see him. He's there. He's next to this guy. And I was talking about the celebrity crush thing. And I said, do you guys have that? Do gay guys have the celebrity crush? He goes, I'm into women. And I go, you said partner. Oh, you meant your partner in the app. But I'm like, okay, hold on, dude. Like, you're both good looking, well dressed. He wasn't on the stage accepting the award. You were. Why wasn't he right there? Right. So I think that's on you guys, right? So, but I made it. I made it funny.
It was okay. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, "Can you blow him?" So it's not embarrassing for me. So it turned out to be probably the funniest moment of the show.
Man, it sounds like one of my sets.
Yeah, but it was very stressful. I was like, "God, I got to get out of here before I say something else."
Speaking of people not liking us, on the other side of the break, we talked about two people. We were deciding, were they mother daughter, were they friends, whatever, at the murder mystery, who literally stared straight ahead and never reacted at all, and we actually got some insight on that, and we'll talk about that after the break.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show. From the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and The Newly Dead Game comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under a dollar a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Don't miss Rob and Joe, plus special guests Oscar, Rob, and Mike O'Mara at the Zappos headquarters, Council Chambers Auditorium in Las Vegas, Nevada, Saturday, November 3rd. There's only a few seats left. Please visit DieLaughingProductions.com for ticket information.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Look at Joe, man! You all that pregame, post or pregame Raven stuff. You're doing good at these teases and going to break.
Oh, thanks, man.
Man, so we got an email from Scott. He's a listener of the show, not Scott Burks, another Scott. He was at it's the couple that I referenced that was at the Brightbox Halloween show on October 13th. They were staring directly across from the two women that were never. They were kind of like this guy in Albany, just blank stares, and. He said that the next day.
Yeah, he emailed you.
Yeah, he emailed me. Yeah. He said that they happened to run into those two at breakfast the next day. I guess.
But we got lucky that happened.
He goes, I walk up to them and ask what they thought of the show. They didn't think it was funny. I said, really? It was hilarious, that he says just to me. We'll see more in the future. He said, they said they didn't see any humor in the show, and they were a mother-daughter couple. And they drove 2 hours for this. Didn't ask from where, but they had really thick Southern accents. So he's assuming Southern Virginia. But he says, great show. Keep up the great work. So they found no humor and they drove 2 hours.
Well, I will say, and we talked about this the last time, comedians always go, oh, yeah, I crushed it. I did this. We crushed. We crushed this room. But we did. It's very noticeable when there are two people that aren't laughing at all. And
right
sure enough, there it's true. They didn't like it.
Hated it.
I think I have some insight on this.
Go ahead.
I think it's a mother and daughter, and individually they probably wouldn't be uptight, but as a daughter and a mother seeing a show like this together that's kind of R-rated, I think it was uncomfortable for both of them. I think
but
that's what happened.
You say it's really – there isn't any really dirty jokes. It's not really R-rated.
You think they were upset when Colonel Sanders came out?
Was that yeah, but that's the thing. This isn't actually a very dirty show.
No, you're right. There's a lot of things that are completely
silly,
innocuous. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't see how you could be offended. I mean,
but I think about like Katie and her mom. They would laugh at. I mean, they don't. They wouldn't be uncomfortable if somebody saw something inappropriate with their daughter around. I wouldn't be. I don't think. I guarantee my sisters wouldn't be. Uncomfortable if they were with Aunt Mom and something, they wouldn't be uncomfortable with that stuff.
But it seems if you drive 2 hours, you're clearly wanted to be there. So you'd think you'd at least start off positive.
You think they like Columbo or something? Like I'm trying to think of what kind of a I can't think of what would entertain those people.
Maybe they
They're
just
probably big fans of Big Bang Theory.
Maybe they just didn't get it. Is our show too smart?
Big Bang Theory's funny. Everybody shits on it. It's not a bad show.
It's not bad. Right. When we win the lottery, we'll make our own Big Bang Theory.
Was there something early on in the show that just must have just set them off in the wrong direction?
I don't know, Joe. You walk around in the beginning more than anybody else.
I mean, I didn't. Oh, by the way, let's also the guy who emailed was at the table with the two people that got into the fight.
Oh yeah, he also. Oh, he was next to that table. He said that he. Hold on, let me get up the exact quote.
I must have misread. I thought he was the other. I thought it was the other people, but he couldn't have been because I think there was a girl that was with those.
We said we were the couple next to the old white guy and the black guy. I would love to see him get punched. They were on our side. So shout out, Scott. Hey, I got a Gramps story that doesn't involve sex.
Or even women, really. Yeah, that's crazy.
Do you know it?
I know it.
Oh, you do? How do you know these things?
I sent out a picture of it. Didn't you get a picture from me today?
No, that's not the story I'm talking about.
Oh, you start then.
Yeah. We have two Gramps stories. It's confusing. All right. Gramps emails you this Friday. I don't know if you use this because it's not like the usual Gramps story. In the last 2 months, the sons of two of my clients were shot to death in the area that I generally work.
Jeez.
Today, I went into Oxford Court to see a client. I'm in that court all the time. My client came to the door and asked if I saw the police had cordoned off the area at the end of the court. Three people were shot to death there the day before. I was to see her the day before, but with few people to see, I had to put her off till today and didn't work yesterday. So I guess it's by fate, just by chance, that he wasn't there. He goes, "It's a good thing I'm Bruce Willis."
What does that mean?
Is he referring to Die Hard or Unbreakable? What do you
think? I don't think he even knows about Unbreakable.
Yeah, and he goes, "I won't be in chat Monday since we are going to New Orleans for a week. Hope you have a great show. Signed, Bruce."
But he still found a way to involve himself with the show, even though he's out of town and on vacation.
Is he vacationing in New Orleans?
He is.
What are they doing?
It's his favorite city.
It's Gramps and Aunt Mom's anniversary tomorrow. Shout out.
Congrats.
Everybody wish him a happy anniversary.
Oh, by the way, it's
Tuesday.
My son Joey's birthday today. That's, guess how old he turns?
Joey 21. Is 21.
21 years old.
Nice.
That's right.
Is he having a drink?
Well, it's funny. I was like, "Hey, let's go out at midnight and get a drink." But then he's like, "Well, it's Sunday night at midnight." I thought it was Saturday night, but it's Sunday night. So
He should be in New Orleans with his grandfather.
Nah, I mean, if he wants to get drunk, I'll get drunk with him.
All right.
Can't imagine he wants to, but.
Well, has he gotten drunk before?
I guarantee you he has not.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, it won't take much then. So how long are they in New Orleans for?
I have no idea. Robbie knows. Robbie always knows everything.
I don't know the exact day they're coming back, but they're there for a week, basically.
Well, that's good. And now, the other Gramps story. Okay. Jeff Hancock, one of our huge listeners, supporters of...
P1,
supporters of the Murder Mystery
Matter
Comedy
fact,
Show.
He was the one that said he was going to write some stand-up to perform on the show. He never did.
No, it's been like a year.
Yeah.
So he posts a photo on Facebook of him with Gramps. I have no idea how this happened. Robbie, do you know how this happened?
I do. Do you mind if I tell? So,
go ahead.
My dad's on the plane, you know.
To New Orleans.
To New Orleans with Aunt Mom. He's like, probably like, "Hey, I need a neck pillow," you know, whatever he does. "Can I get an extra bag of peanuts?" Whatever he's doing.
He's hitting on the flight attendants. You come here often?
Yes. And somebody goes, "Excuse me, sir, are you Gramps?"
Behind and across the aisle.
"Are you Gramps?" Here's him talking. He's like, "Well, yes, I am." And he goes, "Well, I'm Jeff Hancock. I recognize your voice from the Rob and Joe show." Can you imagine? Now, if I know my dad like I think I do, that's probably the happiest moment of his life.
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
To be recognized for his, what's the word I'm looking for?
His fame?
Correct. There you go. Fame.
How many
is the
times
word
do you
for.
Think he's mentioned that to his wife since that happened?
A lot.
Yes.
He's not stopped talking about it.
This is true. One time, it was like a Thanksgiving or something, and she goes, "Will you stop talking about Mac Bergson?"
That is a true story.
Because my dad was like, "Yeah, Mac Bergson said this on Facebook," and he did this, and she's like, "Will you stop talking about Mac Bergson?"
Do you think anyone's ever said that?
No. Why would anybody ever say that?
So Jeff was also going to New Orleans? Is that...
I don't know apparently. That part of the story. I guess.
No, he is, and I'll tell you why I know that.
Yes, I know this too. Go ahead, Robbie.
They're going to dinner together on Wednesday.
Yes. So can you imagine? my poor stepmother. She's like, okay, I'm getting away, gonna have a good time. Maybe listen to some jazz music. Maybe have some nice Cajun food. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I can't escape the Rob and Joe show. We'll be having dinner with a listener on Wednesday.
Maybe they'll call Mac together, and he can just have him speakerphone FaceTimed for the dinner.
Pretty soon is, will you stop talking about Jeff Hancock?
Well, I'm excited. No, that's cool. I mean, you've gotten recognized for your voice before.
Yeah.
All your radio work.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have.
By the way, it's been like a month since I scolded you and made fun of you for your Twitter bio having nothing on it, and you haven't changed it.
No, but I do have a picture. Oh, speak of the devil. So I do have a picture of Kirk and I. Our Robbie made this banner,
okay.
And for some reason he couldn't get into my Twitter. I easily got in, and I put the banner up of that shows that I'm actually part of the Ravens broadcast. Man, so something wonderful and something horrible happened on yesterday's Ravens broadcast, which, by the way, the Ravens lost by having the most accurate kicker in NFL history miss an extra point to lose the game.
Yeah, that's a gut punch.
Was a tough one. Even the kicker, he couldn't. It legitimately looked like he could not believe he just did that.
Well, it looked like it was a gust of wind came or something.
It looked like it was dead center, and all of a sudden it just shot off to the right. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Was Katie at the game?
Katie was actually at a party. I didn't really talk to her about it until later. I needed her to kind of decompress, right?
Yeah.
But the first thing is, first segment, and then when I talked to Jerry Sandusky, I mentioned all the weapons that the New Orleans Saints have, speaking of New Orleans, because they really are a powerful offensive team. They have Alvin Kamara. They have Mark Ingram. They have Michael Thomas. I mean, there's a lot of people that are arguably in the top two and three at their position. Obviously, Drew Brees. I don't know if I mentioned him. And I kept saying that also tight end Jimmy Graham, who's quite a weapon, although he hasn't. It is not that he doesn't play for them anymore. It's two teams removed from when he did.
Yes, it's like 5 years now.
And I mentioned 4 years. And finally, Jerry Sandusky, thank God, he said, hey, told Mike, he goes, hey, tell Joe that Jimmy Graham doesn't play. I go, I wish he would have said it right then when I was on the air. So, of course, I made a joke out of it. I was like, Robbie didn't know to shit on me about this because he didn't know what a big deal it was to say that. But I said, I said on the air, I mistakenly kept saying Jimmy Graham. I go, I also think Archie Manning is still on the team. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty embarrassing.
Your friend Vegas was texting all of us, Tim included, and Phil, about, he says, Joe has mentioned Jimmy Graham twice playing for the Saints. Well, oh my God, he did it a third time. And I go, are you going to text him? And he said that he did.
Yeah, he did.
And then we started making those jokes. Is he talking about Ricky Williams, Marcus Colson?
and then
Vegas had Archie Manning. So we had our laugh at your expense.
That's okay. I'm okay with it. But let me tell you this, and I'm going to have to tell the story cryptically, even though Robbie would love for me to just sabotage my career. This is about a sponsor. So there's a sponsor that comes on every single home game and talks about whatever product it is that they... Robbie doesn't know the story. He's laughing, thinking it's another story.
I'm laughing because you're making it obvious.
Oh. Well, that's okay unless you breadcrumb to him and get me fired. That's a Robbie move. But anyway, there's a sponsor. So
never done it.
This is a very straight-laced, very serious... He's a fun guy, but he's... You know, he's not, this isn't Arthur Fonzarelli up there, okay? Anyway, there's two ladies that are dressed up like, you know, the Huns, H-O-N, the Baltimore, they have the big beehive, they're like from the movie Hairspray, okay? So there's two girls that are dressed up like those type of people, right? And they say to Justin Schlegel, who's there doing the tailgate report, hey, tell that guy we have a secret for him. So Justin's like, okay, whatever. I mean, who knows? What could it be, right? So the guy walks over, and again, I'm trying to give him the equivalent of, we don't even know anybody that's this straight. I mean, he's just, this is a square, basically, right? And he walks up, and he said, they said you had a secret state. She goes, yeah, I'm a squirter.
What?
I swear to God. Okay. This guy was like, I mean, he looked like he couldn't, he was going to crawl outside of himself. God, it's so hilarious. Yes. Know your audience.
Why did they target him?
I no idea why they, well, even if I could say, I would have to divulge something about what he does in order to say why they would single him out. But anyway, but he, you know, he's a guy with some, some, he can do things for people.
Justin was wearing his superhero homicide murder mystery outfit out the other day.
Good.
I saw that.
Good.
Yes. Super duper man. It's getting use.
Thank God. It's funny. I was putting together some murder mystery stuff to try to look more professional for Vegas, you know.
Yeah, we just bought a laminator. 3.5 years in, we spent $40. It's like the easiest investment.
It's the best thing that we've ever done, yeah. And it would be, so, God, just the idea of how much easier it's going to make my life to have this laminator. But whatever. Anyway, I was going through it, and I basically was like, oh, good, superhero homicide. I can use all these folders. I can like anything in there I can use.
Yeah.
We're never doing that again. Although my the zookeeper outfit was in there.
Was the turtle in there? Remember?
Turtle.
We brought a live turtle on stage.
Yeah.
We had to carry the whole time.
Yep.
Still the greatest moment that never got a laugh. We have a follow-up from Michael Chamberlain. We mentioned him last week.
Oh, I don't know about this.
Yes.
Yeah. He's setting me up again.
He listened to the show. Again, just a reset. There was an email exchange back and forth between him and Robbie and about the movie, what's it called? Phantom something?
It's called The Phantom Thread.
The Phantom
starring
Thread.
Starring the great Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right. Basically, the gist of it is that he thinks you're just Mr. Mainstream, and then he's sort of shitting on your movie review acumen. Does
right.
that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So he listens to the show. He goes, I love it. Love that Mr. Mainstream is the title of the episode. I am polarizing. Hilarious. Joe acts like Eighth Grade, which is your favorite movie of the year, is an obscure film no one knows about. Eighth Grade is a mainstream movie, even if it is independent. Most publicized independent films are connected to studios. Joe lists his favorite films of the year, and they're all mainstream. Won't You Be My Neighbor is a breakout documentary. Everyone knows about it. Oh, Joe. Poor Joe. It's great that you brought up my emails about him to end the episode. And I love that you called me and I hung up. I don't remember that, but you can tell Rob that I hung up because I was indeed in the library. And I love Secretary, one of my faves of that year, maybe even the best of that year. But Phantom Thread is, in its way, a more remarkable achievement, a total triumph, and certainly different in style than Secretary. They're completely different movies. And on a side note, the music at the end of the podcast, after the sign off, is great. He's never heard it, apparently. It's been 8 years. Very tranquil, beautiful. Is that played all the time? I think I should come on and get into it with Joe about movies. Mr. Mainstream, he is.
Okay. So, first of all, look, I'm not acting like Eighth Grade is obscure. It's not mainstream. It's not. Most people haven't heard of this movie, so it can't possibly be mainstream.
I agree. It's not.
It's not.
Again, the movies that I see are mainstream.
Michael's heard of it. Most people have not.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. So it's, even though you're right, it's not some obscure movie that was made by Jeremy and one of his friends, and now they're showing it as Chiller.
By the only time I've ever heard of it is when you brought it up.
Right.
I've never
not,
seen a trailer. I've never seen anyone else talk about it. You're the only one I know that I've ever.
It's not mainstream.
Right.
But I understand what he's saying. It's not this, you know, it's not something that you can't find or consume.
It's not fringe.
There you go. But I realize Secretary and Phantom Thread, you're right, they're set much different. They're much different movies. I get that. The theme, the idea, the premise is similar. That was the point that I was trying to make. And I was saying I enjoyed the other movie that had a similar premise. I enjoyed that more. That's all. All right, Mike and I can certainly talk about it. By the way, I don't think I know more about movies than Mike.
Well, can we have...
I don't think that, though. So what's the argument?
I know. I think you do think that. You know more because he doesn't watch any movies.
I don't think I know more about.
I think you feel like you can give a more honest critique and review of a movie than he can because you have an open mind to things.
Well, that's a different thing.
You're not anti-mainstream like he is.
Yeah, that look. Mike is going to know more about what it takes to make a film
well,
than
sure.
I am. It's
yes.
not even close. And he is also going to know more about direction. He's going to know about lighting. Yes, he is going to know more about those things. Yes. But he also is very, God, how, no wonder, I can't believe Robbie and him found each other because they closed themselves off to things and then there's nothing that can be done. Matter of fact, it'd be difficult for you to get Mike to like any movie like Iron Man or The Dark Knight, which are just great superhero movies. I promise you that Mike doesn't like those movies.
Would he agree to see one of those movies that Joe thinks is a great movie? Well, let's say Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is awesome, yeah.
Would Mike see that and then review it if Joe... But then Joe would have to see a movie that... What's Mike's favorite movie?
Oh, something in black and white that no, where
the
people
one
aren't
that
talking.
Mara's never seen.
That's not his favorite. What is it? Nashville. That's not his favorite movie, but he, you know, he loves it.
Well, what's some equivalent to that that Joe would have to see so they can debate them? Or is that not interesting at all?
Oh, here we go. Let's see him? If he'll pick up. Yeah,
could be at the library again.
Or he might be hilarious and hang right up.
Might be duct taping his car.
Oh, Robbie's always just trying to book him. What's he doing? Nothing.
Very busy, Michael Chamberlain. I mean, the reality is that Robbie's the most mainstream. All the TV he watches.
Hi, this is Michael Chamberlain, and if you're calling about the magic shows, please leave your name, phone number, and possible date and time of your event, and I'll call you back as soon as I can. My website is mikecmagic.com. That's MikecMagic.com. You can also text me at this number. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
There we go.
Hey, Mike, it's Rob and Joe. We're calling about the magic show.
Yes, we'd like for you to come here. By the way, what is Mike? You said he charges a lot, right, Robbie?
It depends on what you ask him to do, but he can charge a lot of money.
What if he just comes over to the show and does magic while we do the Rob and Joe show?
How about that? We want the most mainstream magic that he has.
Yes, I want him to pull a rabbit out of a hat. I want him to pull the scarves out of his mouth.
Right.
I want him to find
a
my
card.
Yep.
Any card, yeah.
The rings. The balls in between the fingers, that's what we want.
Can he cut Katie in half? Can he do that?
Can you do that, Robbie?
He can cut her her hand off.
Oh, nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. We'll make sure you get to keep that ring, though. Yeah. So, Mike, seriously, how much would he charge to just do magic while we're doing the podcast? What do you think he would charge, Robbie?
You're saying we're doing a live show and
no,
he's
just
doing magic.
He's just right here in the
Well, he's
studio.
Worked at Roy Rogers, yes. So I know he'd do it for $100.
I had Roy Rogers today.
You did?
Rest stuff, yeah.
Does he have to drive to Millersville?
Yes.
Well, Robbie, yeah, I already know he's done it. I already know he's driven here because he told the story about going to the Royal Farms and going table at Roy Rogers finding people's cards.
I'm not saying he's not willing. I'm just asking what the parameters are so I can make a guess at the price.
I mean, for him driving, that deathmobile he's got, I mean, he's risking his life anytime he goes more than 10 miles away.
But what could, I mean, the cost can't be that much. You know, normally
yeah,
you're
I
like.
I think for him to do 45 minutes.
45? We don't want that.
There's shows an hour long, so he's going to get 800 or more.
We should do a live show and have Mike on there. Mike,
hold on.
Give us
I gotta
your
stop
rates.
For a second. There's no fucking way Roy Rogers paid him $800. So you can say what you want. That did not happen. They didn't yes, they paid way less than 800.
I'm just telling you what Mike would ask for to do that.
Oh, well, that's different. Okay, well, I'm going to ask him $1 million to have him come here.
He won't charge that much.
Good, thanks.
What if you win the lottery? Will you just make him your full-time magician?
No, I would not.
I will. He'll be on call. Whenever I need a magician, he has to stop what he's doing and come over and do magic.
What would happen if Mike won $1 billion?
He'd probably buy new duct tape for
his car. I mean, think of
car.
How he acts now when he has no money. God, can you imagine the entitlement that came with that kind of money, how he would act?
Do you think he'd still go to the library?
I guess you couldn't possibly. He'd have to get his own computer. I mean, even if you – would you? How could somebody remain cheap? He'd have to get a new car. He'd have to get his own computer. He'd probably get a bigger house with a room that was dedicated. I guess we're done.
You know what he would do? He would make my movie, my screenplay, Blame the Victim, that he loved, into a movie. He would shoot that and finance it.
Starring Daniel Day-Lewis.
Exactly.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. All right. To replay your message, press 1.
That's
to
okay.
To delete and re-record your message, press 3.
All right, turn it off.
What if people are calling and they can't leave a voicemail? They want to book him for another big Roy Rogers gig.
Yeah, he's got to get rid of the whole message.
Anyway, thanks, Mike. Let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap this thing up. Rob and Shosho, be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by. Hear Robbie detail his affair with. And hear all about how Rob looped to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
The Rob and Joe Show.
It's almost time for Vegas, Joe. Are you ready? Are you getting into Vegas shape?
Yeah. Well, you know, Kate, we're getting better audience binders. You know what I want to do, Robbie? I want to talk about this on the Rob and Joe Show. The reason I want to do that is if anybody knows how to get this done, reach out, right? You can reach out to us on Twitter. You can reach out to our Facebook page. This is what I want to do.
All right.
Instead of handing out all those team sheets, can't we just have them go to a website, plug in their team name and their answer, and then we go to our own site and all the people that got it right?
Yeah, you mentioned that. I don't know. I think people like the sheet. They like to take notes.
Really? Well, taking notes, that's fine. We can still do that. But if we have them do it, it just seems like it would be immensely easier. It's also kind of cool and state-of-the-art. But in addition to that, they can give us their email addresses and it'll make it easier for us.
No, I agree with that. But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to want to do that. Get on their phone. It seems it's harder to huddle around and read it. And the team sheet's easier to.
But what you could do is figure it out and then plug your answer in. By the way, they do it in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? They do. I mean, it's a normal thing.
But that's a closed system, which is different. If they have to do it on the internet, then they got to download an app probably. It's a whole thing.
No. And we play Quicklash. You don't have to download an app. You go to a website.
Really?
Yeah, you plug it right in there. And then I go to that same website and I gather that information. And then I just say, just give me a list of all the people that guessed this person. And then I'll say, all right, here's who got it right. You know, and I can read it right off of there. Now, some of the fun is drawing the winner. I don't know what we're going to do at Vegas, but
I think we have to have a sheet on there that everyone can look at and take notes and a piece of paper. So I think it can't replace that, is what I'm saying.
Probably not, but you know who you need to talk to.
Who? Well, we don't agree on wanting to have it, so that might
be Rob's friend Todd Moore.
Well,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, but honestly,
you can't afford him.
Yeah, you need somebody who just knows, go to, you know, suchandsuch.com. They have that technology.
Then if people are going to a website, the Wi-Fi is not always great in these venues, because believe me, I try to log into the Wi-Fi everywhere we go.
All right.
So that's also a little bit of an issue.
Really? People don't have data that just talks to outer space?
A lot of people do, but some people don't, Joe.
Really?
And you're asking everybody to use their smartphone to do that? No. Dad doesn't.
Okay, I understand that, but he is definitely an anomaly, right? And by the way, you know who would? Would Aunt Mom, who'd be right there with him. So it's people at each table. I think it's a good idea. Matter of fact, at McGoobie's, they have that thing where, you know, you plug it in and if you text and then...
Well, we've talked about doing that and looked into that a bit, and it costs some money. And we have the barcode thing now. We're going to try that. We have to do a better job at getting email addresses.
Yeah.
It would be great if we had that, like, that little pad where you do the trivia in the bar, Joe. That would be what we need.
What, and everybody gets their own pad?
Yeah. Okay. Each table gets one of those little things.
Okay. That would be a fucking outrageous expense.
That's another one. When we win the lottery, that's what we'll do.
Well, that's a good solution, Robbie. Yeah. Spend about 10 grand.
So, can we... thanks, Robbie. Can we talk about how Katie's... ready for us to buy a suit for the wedding?
Yeah.
Is it too early for that?
No, we can do that.
I meant too early to buy the suit.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't buy the suit right now. I plan on losing a shit ton of weight. There's no way I should buy the suit now. But, Kate, it's so funny. Katie sent a bunch of suits for us to hold on. Hey, Katie!
You guys just go ahead and buy the suits.
Well, it's a rental situation where you they mail it to you, and then you try it on, and then you... decide which one you want.
Hold on. Hey, Katie, come here. Oh, here she is.
Yeah.
I think she's here. Oh, there we go. So, anyway, Katie sends...
I've been listening. Sorry.
That's okay. We're talking about the suits. First of all, Rob didn't know that
we'll get to that.
Okay. That we need to talk about.
Okay, we'll get there in a second.
I knew you wanted to talk about that.
That's a huge issue.
We'll get there in a second, but... anyway, Katie sends over, I think, three or four different suits, right? Three suits. Mm-hmm. And I go, I like number two. She goes, we're going with number one. I was like, what the fuck did you even send them for me to look at?
Right.
Just to look.
I was just being nice.
I swear, I knew it. She was just like, let me give these, act like these guys have a choice. But she had, because I looked at one, I was like, man, that looks kind of badass. But I think the one I looked at was a little bit more of a royal type of blue. But I think Katie's like,
that's the one I like.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I like that one. But the thing is that, we don't want to commit to a size now because we're hoping to be thinner come
No, I just need to
March.
Know by the end of the year.
What is it? May? What is it?
December 31st is when you need to know?
That's my... I mean, that's when I'd like you to order the ones to try on. So they send you a whole bunch. You try on a bunch of different sizes until you get as close as possible. And then you send the sizes back and then they send you the suit. And then you can make little alterations. You mark them and then you send them back and they overnight you the alterations.
And when we get the suit, do we get shoes with this, belts
shoes,
with it?
Belt. Socks, shirt, tie, pocket square,
the whole
everything.
The whole thing.
Everything.
Because so Rob said to me and then said to you, hey, why don't we just buy these suits? But apparently these are like $1,000 suits.
These are very expensive suits.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very expensive suits.
So I responded. I said, so Joe and I are supposed to wear the same suit?
Yeah.
I don't know how these things work.
I mean, are you serious?
You said, Rob, is this a real question? I said, LOL, 100%. She goes, oh, okay. So, yes, you wear the same suit. By the way, I still thought you might be fucking with me.
Like, you still think you don't wear the same suit?
Well, because I know that the women, that the bridesmaids all have one outfit on and the bride doesn't. She has a different outfit.
I remember you telling me either you had never been to a wedding or you'd never been to a funeral. Which one was it?
No, I've been to a bunch of weddings. I've never been to a funeral.
Oh, was it
Well,
funeral?
No, I've been now to Dylan's funeral.
Yeah. How was it? Did you like it?
I did, actually.
You had a great time.
It was very moving and funny and sad at the same time. We've talked about this.
Yeah. So,
I've been to weddings.
You haven't noticed that everybody's wearing the same thing up there?
And I've been in a wedding, too. No.
You didn't notice that the people... God. Well, the wedding you were in, was it one of these kind of backyard casual ones, or was it in a church where...
No, we all ordered suits. We had to all have the same, but I didn't realize that the same... I never put it together.
Gotcha.
So sometimes there's a very slight difference between the groom and them, but I mean, I thought you would know.
No, like if you put a gun to my head and said guess, I would have said the other way.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You would have thought you'd wear orange and I'd wear.
No, I thought it would be like the women. The bridesmaids all have one outfit and the bride has her different.
Yeah,
outfit.
How come the bridesmaids don't all wear wedding dresses?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, you act like that's crazy, though.
Yeah, but I do think it's a little crazy. I mean, think about how many times you see a wedding on television, movies, in real life. I mean,
do you remember?
It's a rite of passage. You've seen, if you haven't been to a wedding, you've at least seen how many weddings you think you've seen on TV?
No,
and movies?
I've seen or been to 100. Seen 100 weddings, either in person or on TV.
More than that, probably.
Yeah.
Probably,
hell, in the
yes.
movie Wedding Crashers, you see like 5 weddings.
And almost
right.
every rom-com, there's a wedding, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I couldn't tell you what anyone has been wearing in any of these.
You know that they're wearing a wedding dress.
Yeah, but I couldn't picture one in my mind.
Is it white, the one you picture,
yeah,
if you tried
that's it.
To?
Okay.
Is
yeah.
there not a veil? Something I would
so,
notice?
So, yes, you are wearing the same thing.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, another thing about Rob is he's colorblind, so you're being kind of insensitive.
Or I'm helping.
Yeah. No,
yeah, you
helps.
Wouldn't know if you were wearing the same suit anyway.
Yeah, no, you guys are going to wear different color suits.
So, Robbie,
me.
How crazy is that I was unaware of that?
I don't think it's that crazy.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, let's go yes. with Robbie is on
it,
that one.
Is it crazier than Mike Chamberlain's message, outgoing message?
No, I've been in multiple weddings, and I don't think that it's outrageous to consider that if there's one groomsman, he might wear a different suit.
Whose weddings have you been in? Mike Chamberlain, your
He's
best
had
friend.
Four of his
didn't
own.
Even invite you to his wedding. To his wedding,
I was in.
You were in mine, in my first one. Sorry,
yours.
Katie. Yeah,
yes, and I was in somebody else's wedding. I was the
oh,
best
you don't
man.
Want to say his name,
man.
Chris.
No.
Yeah, you know who Chris is. He called in one night at 10 o'clock, and Robbie stopped talking to him.
Yes, I remember.
That's not
that.
What happened.
Yes. Oh my God, I bet it is what happened.
So Joe and I wear the exact same thing. Do we? What about socks? What about underwear?
You can wear different socks and underwear.
No, I want to commit to everything.
When you said socks, the first thing I thought is I don't need them to give me socks. Do you want
No, we're not going to do everything. We're just going to do suit, tie, shirt, and then probably belt and shoes because I think it'll be
Can
better.
I wear, did you see my new brown belt and shoes?
Yeah, by the time the wedding is around, I want you to not have shoes you've been wearing for
I haven't worn them once yet.
I have
Great,
some nice,
so if you don't wear them
nice
at all, then
shoes.
There you go.
Have you seen them?
Yeah, they're nice.
Oh, you don't like them.
I do like them. I like them.
Oh, I just got to...
I swear I like them. I don't know if I like them for the wedding, but I like them.
Man, I don't know. I'm getting a vibe that you don't. I'm going to show them to you, Rob.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm going to be right back.
No, I like them. Well, I feel like... Why is he doing this?
Yeah. Can we get a picture of those shoes?
Yeah.
Katie, are we physically on the beach when we're at the wedding?
No.
We're indoors somewhere.
No, we're outside, but we're not on a beach.
Okay, we're like in a like some sort of gathering covered area. Is that
it's
what you're
saying? Not covered, no.
So it's open. But can we see the beach from the
yes.
From there?
Okay. This is like 20 questions. I like it actually.
Yes. I'm just getting right, I'm just gonna try to get the vibe. Guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's overlooking it's basically on a rooftop of a like a restaurant and it's overlooking the beach.
Okay. Am I allowed to wear sandals?
No, absolutely not.
It sucks.
Okay.
And I'm not joking. You're not allowed to wear sandals.
I'm looking at the shoes and the belt. I don't think they're nice enough for the wedding.
I think they are. I wish they were a wingtip. You know what I mean? I wish they had the wingtip going on.
Robbie, I'm taking a picture of them right now.
Katie's nixed the sandals. Joe.
Sandals are not an option for men at the ceremony.
So we definitely have to have the same belt and shoes on. And it doesn't make sense to buy all that. So you're right that the renting, it seems like a smarter
Yeah, I think
idea.
It's just more a little more cost effective for the type of suit it is. If it was
right.
a more common everyday suit, I think it would make more sense to probably buy it. But it's specifically for the beach.
Well, now I guess I got it. Is there anything else I should know? Because clearly I don't know how this all
you
works.
You have to plan the bachelor party.
Yeah,
you have to write a speech.
Yeah, I understand that.
And I think that's it. Yeah. Stay alive until then.
When do
Wow.
Is there a dinner beforehand, the night before?
There is a... We're doing a small family rehearsal dinner. It's like a private rehearsal dinner for just like... Wedding party and close family.
So that's me.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Okay.
You,
do
and
I have
Tawanda,
it? Gotcha.
You and Tawanda. You know,
Robbie
my parents.
There, yeah.
yeah, Robbie.
Jeff Hancock.
Yeah,
no,
Jeff Hancock.
Not.
Jim Amato.
Yeah,
they'll
parents, sisters, brothers, that kind of thing. And then the wedding party. So
do I have any duties that night?
Well, other
no.
than to learn.
Just stay sober until after. So you remember what to do the next day.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's that you're going to know what
it's
to
an
do.
All-inclusive, all-you-can-drink place. So
yeah.
if you get there on, you know,
I know
on Thursday, I just thinking if everyone's day drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. I'll be good.
Rob, can Joe stay in your room the night of the wedding?
What?
What? No,
you
what?
Don't know about this?
No.
We're not supposed to sleep together the night of the wedding.
You're supposed to sleep
before,
with
sorry.
His best man? That's-
Well, no, what if Rob only has one bed?
He needs a place to stay.
Tawanda will love that. You're snoring. You're nervous.
Yeah. You guys will be exhausted for the wedding
yeah.
the next day.
So.
I'll wear my CPAP.
So he can't spend the night with you?
No. We'll do the rehearsal dinner. We'll go out. We'll party with everybody that night. And then we'll say.
Arrivederci.
So we have.
I won't be able to see him from the night before until the actual like ceremony.
All day?
All day.
What is, I mean, it's not that big of a place. How do you avoid each other?
I'll be in hair and makeup all day.
All day? Jeez. Who's paying for that?
All day hair and makeup?
The girls will get up. We'll go to the spa.
Who
we'll
are you, Lady
breakfast.
Gaga?
We'll eat breakfast and then we start hair and makeup at probably 10 or 11. Then we have photos. You guys are going to be getting ready at probably 1 o'clock.
What time's the wedding?
5.
No, I'm not going to be getting
yes,
ready.
Yes, you
at
are.
One.
You don't have a say in this.
Well, what do we
what
have
mean?
To
You're
do?
Not even going to be there.
We have a
Just
photographer.
A suit on.
We have a photographer all day. They're going to be literally taking pictures of you a couple hours before, getting ready, hanging out with. I mean, this is not. You don't. It's this.
They're
going to
be watching
scheduled.
Me put my pants on.
That's right.
I mean, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, it is happening.
So now you got to sleep with me and
when I'm showering, they're going to be there snapping photos, putting my deodorant
yeah.
on, shaving.
Not brushing your teeth the night before?
I'll brush my teeth, I promise.
So at 1 p.m., we have our suit on for this thing that happens 4 hours later.
Well, no,
it'll
probably be all the guys, like Robbie, my brother, my dad, everyone kind of hanging out, drinking, and they'll be taking
your
pictures.
Your dad loves Robbie.
Yeah. And then, you know, around 1-ish, you'll probably start to get ready. And
seems early.
Okay.
How sober do we have to be?
We're
for
also
this
in
thing?
Mexico, so it's gonna be hot to wear a suit. the same suit Rob's wearing? That seems like it's going to be.
We're going to look all sweaty. We're going to be drunk.
Don't you want me to be at my
spill
best?
Things.
Hey, did we already talk about this? Do you think we're going to have...
Your face is very angry right now.
Do you think we're going to have sex that night?
No.
Jeez.
Wait, what do you mean? The night? We're not even going to see
on
each
our
other.
Wedding night?
No, the wedding night.
The wedding night. Yeah, it's unlikely. Wow. Do you agree?
What if I make a move? Hello? Still, you're gonna rebuff me on our...
I can't hear you.
Can you... Do you agree it's probably unlikely?
Why is it unlikely? Because we're just
getting so
drunk or whatever
and
tired? I think
it'll just be such a long day.
going to be drunk.
No, we probably will.
It's pretty romantic.
You might pass out.
We'll probably force it on each other.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good way
it's not
going to
happen
marriage.
Naturally.
Yeah.
You want your first time.
I want to see your tits.
I'll try to go. I'll try to go quick.
Good.
So
the Nord, the huge.
So the ceremony is Friday or Saturday?
The ceremony is Friday.
Okay. And we arrive Thursday.
Well, I arrive Wednesday. Okay.
So Thursday night, there's a thing.
Yep.
So how are we supposed to be sober at the wedding?
So here's what I'm thinking. I think Thursday we'll drink a little bit during the day. We'll do this rehearsal and then we'll like kind of go to bed early because the next day is going to be a very long day. But I think the wedding, like the after party or even the reception.
Yeah.
I think that's when we just get really hammered and then you recover on the beach the next day.
Okay. So I was going to get this straight. So I'm not allowed to see you. But you're going to tell me what time to go to bed and then what time to get ready the next day.
Well, it'd be easy to lie to her.
All right.
You know what? You do whatever you want to do.
You know, and by the way, you can't really get it wrong. I mean, if you who cares?
Don't say that to me.
Well, I'm
I
just
can.
Saying, if you suck at the speech, that's going to be hilarious. I mean, what's the worst? What
yeah,
can you call her
later.
By my ex-wife's name? Like, what could you do that would be so, wouldn't be hilarious?
I could screw it up.
What? That the wedding doesn't happen?
No.
I think you have a much easier job. Like, there's going to be people that are doing readings. Like, that's harder than what you're doing.
Yeah, it's
what?
Harder to read
something.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You're just standing there.
Yeah.
That's way easier than
doing a reading in front
of everyone.
Well, no, the toast is that's the biggest thing that
yeah.
there is to do. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Kelsey's really funny, too.
Yeah,
she's like really good.
And I have to follow her? Is that the way we're doing it?
She would like to go first. Yes.
Hey, Rob, I could put a video presentation together for you.
There's no video
great.
Capability.
Now we have to do this video.
Robbie needs
It'll
to talk to the sound
long.
Guy.
There is no video capability at all.
Robbie's going to need to talk to the sound
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, he's going
to
be emailing you 1,000 times.
Not
before.
I have to go. I have to check that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check those facts.
He's
no, I don't. I actually don't want there to be any video capability, and I don't want you contacting anyone.
Well, I have some ideas about involving some of the talent there for this. For the
you're
going to
do the dance, one of the murder mystery dances.
No, that's not a speech. That's dancing.
By the way, I'm going to say this just before we go. Katie's going to get pissed off, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Awesome.
So, as you well know, Katie said that.
No, you can't.
Oh, I can't say this.
It's
a secret?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. Cut that out. Cut that part out.
Yeah.
I told you it was a secret.
I swear to God,
like 10 times.
I forgot. And yeah. I'm not just trying to sabotage it. I forgot. Whatever. Anyway, beep that, Robbie. But
you're not even supposed to know.
But cut that out totally. But whatever that thing is, they haven't started it yet.
Fuck off,
hey,
Joe.
Hey.
I want you to get there at 11 a.m.
You don't
to
know.
Practice that.
Actually, you don't know anything.
Ooh.
You don't know. So,
I don't?
Nope.
The ball is rolling on that, apparently.
Well, you got really mad, and then you said, I didn't know.
Okay.
I'm just saying, it hasn't.
Whatever. I don't care.
All right.
I don't want to see you now before the wedding. I don't know. You are going to be on the tightest ass schedule leading up to the wedding. You have no idea.
Jeez, man.
You had to spend the week before at my house.
You just got 12 p.m. noon just became the time you start getting ready.
Man.
Is your suit on? It's 7 a.m. Are you ready?
It's going to take me that long just to shave off my body hair.
Oh, man. Can't wait. Anyway, that's the show. So hopefully we'll still be together next week. Hey, coming to Magoobies the 28th, the Sunday, this coming Sunday, right?
Holy this shit. Coming Sunday,
yeah.
We're doing Magoobies, and then the Wednesday.
Yep, Halloween night.
Halloween will be
at
the DC Improv. Matter of fact, I just talked to Jeremy Woodworth. Let me just, if you don't mind, Jeremy Woodworth
Do
is
going
to.
Do we have an update?
Yeah, I have an update. So Jeremy Woodworth, we asked if he would come and be Pogo the Clown. Here's where it started. I said, any interest in being Pogo for Halloween at the DC Improv? Okay, it's pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
Location, exact day.
Sure.
He goes, this weekend, got to be in New Jersey for Chiller. First-time celebrity. Thanks for playing. And then he said something about one of the songs that he sings in the show. Okay. I go, no, Halloween, 10:31. He goes, okay, Wednesday at the same place. What? What same place?
The place he flaked on last year and didn't show
he
up.
He didn't show up last time. I go, I put DC Improv. Okay. So he's got the first thing wrong, got the second thing wrong. And he goes, 7 there for an 8:30 start? No. Show's at 7:30. He's like, okay.
I'm not counting on
it. No, I'm not counting on it either, right? I mean, if he's there, he's there. If he's not, he's not.
Would it be weird if I have Jeremy be my date to your wedding? Is that weird?
It wouldn't be weird.
Where's the clown thing?
You think Katie was just mad when I talked about what I just talked about? Well, if you show up with Jeremy.
Do you want to tell him what your Halloween costume is?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be the yodeling kid from Walmart.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
Robbie,
Robbie,
you know who that is, right?
Sorry.
Are you kidding me? Okay.
No, I don't know what that
is. So, by the way, this kid yodeled at Walmart. Somebody got a video of it.
Yeah.
It went viral, and I went, how long till this kid gets a big check? And 3 days on Ellen. 3 days later, he's on Ellen, and I take a picture of it. He's getting a big, giant check.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to be the yodeling kid. And Katie.
From where? When are you doing this?
We are going to a party this weekend.
Oh, okay.
You want to go?
Sure.
All right, cool.
Maybe. I mean, fuck, now I got to have an outfit. I don't want to.
You're not invited.
Yeah, it doesn't sound. It sounds like
you
I'm not.
You can't just invite people.
You don't think, I'll text a guy.
Who is it?
My cousin. You don't get.
No, I don't know if. Then I need to get a costume. Hold on.
I'm going
to
text him right now.
All right. What did I? Is it Saturday night? I'm assuming.
It's Friday night.
Friday night? Not busy.
Are you really busy?
No, I'm not. Actually, pretty. This is. Pretty
what's his name again?
Easy.
Lee.
That's it, Lee.
I don't.
Are you gonna yodel?
I really don't know if I feel comfortable with this.
Man, you're really having a hard time with Katie tonight, Joe.
Yeah, she's really kind of frowning on all my actions.
Well, I know. They probably were just being nice inviting us.
No way, because I'm going to go see Tenacious D with him, too, the following week.
Are you guys saying Lee, motherfucking Lee?
No, but Tenacious D will.
All right. On that note, later.
Later.
I feel bad.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.